În seara asta vom începe o nouă secțiune, o nouă temă a studiului biblic care l-am început în urmă cu un jur de 8 săptămâni. Și la baza acestei teme stă principiul iluminării Duhului Sfânt în viața noastră de creștin. Tonight we're going to start with a new topic. And we're going to go and study the principle of illumination in our Christian life and how that applies to me. Now, if there is anybody in this room tonight that when you open your Bible and you read through the scripture and you don't understand anything that the scripture says, or you never had that moment when it says, finally I see God is speaking in a unique way to me using this passage, or you, if you're one of those person that you had that moment, but you had that moment only once in a while, then you're in the best place. And not just because of tonight's topic, but overall, being in God's church is the best choice you can make. The book itself, the Bible, it's a pretty hard book to understand if we do not apply the principle of illumination. And what I'm trying to say by that is, a lot of people during this, since this book was completed, they tried to read it as a philosophical book and nothing else. And they accomplished that. And the result of their readings was this. Yeah, indeed, this book is the greatest book of philosophical book ever written by somebody. But it's just that. Now, they didn't apply the principle of illumination. But when you apply that principle, this book does more than just give you a nice philosophical idea or theme. Changes your life, transforms you. Now, as you have in your notes, what that principle means, and I want you guys look on your notes and read in the same time with me. Letting the Holy Spirit, what this principle actually means is letting the Holy Spirit to show me the meaning of God's word and how it applies to my life. I let the Holy Spirit to show me the truth. I let the Holy Spirit to show me what's in that Bible for me. Now, so you guys can understand me a little bit better, I'm going to use a day-to-day example. Think about like you're trying to find a small object in a dark, really dark, pitch dark room. The first thing you do, you enter in the room and you try to find a switch. So you turn the light on to look for that object. Now, if the light bulb is something like this in that room, it's going to be kind of hard for you to find the object you're looking for. But if we replace that bulb with something like this, we'll find everything, even things that we don't want to find in that room, we'll find them. And it's the same thing, this principle works in the same way. Depends on how much we let the Holy Spirit to illuminate us. According with that, we will be educated, we'll be illuminated when we read in the scripture, and we can apply those things to our lives. When Jesus Christ, before he left the earth and he went in heaven, he left us with a pretty powerful promise. Not only the disciples, but us as well. And it's found in John 14:26. You have it on your notes. And it says this, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." The Holy Spirit does another amazing thing besides just bring light to my life. It reminds me things that I already read in the Bible. It reminds me things that I've been taught being in a church. How many times it happened? It happened to me that I had to face a situation when I had a debate with somebody about Jesus Christ or about Christianity or about morality and stuff like that. And God, the Holy Spirit, would bring to my remembrance verses in the Bible that I had no idea that I know of. And why? Because I was faithful, because you were faithful in reading the Bible, and God, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance what you need to know when the right time comes. Now, I'll give you a couple of more passages in the Bible that talks about exactly that. And you all have them on your notes. John 14, 17 says this: He is the Holy Spirit who leads into the truth, in all truth. And then John 16, 15 says, the Spirit will take form what is mine and make it known to you. And Ephesians 1, 17, I ask the glorious Father and God of our Lord Jesus Christ to give you His Spirit. The Spirit will make you wise and let you understand what it means to know God. The Spirit will give me everything that I need to know God. And this passage it's pretty powerful because it gives me so much confidence, and it arms me, like it gives me every single tool that I need to fight a battle, a spiritual battle that comes to me. Now, I want to stop a little bit on and look on your notes, Ephesians 1, 18, 19. It says over there, I pray also, it's a continued conversation that took place in Ephesians 1, 17. So in Ephesians 1, 18, 19 says this, I pray also that the eyes of your heart, and what that means, the eyes of my heart, what it means, do you guys think your heart has eyes? It's an interesting thing, because when we are born with arms, legs, eyes, heart, ears, and everything else. We all have those, but those are physical things. Now, when we're born spiritually, we get another set of eyes, another set of ears, mouth, just another mouth. There you go. Another set of feet and everything else. And we'll start seeing with our eyes, spiritual eyes, things that we had not seen before. We'll start speak and talk things that we had not talked or speak before. We will do great things with our hands, things that we had not done before. And that's what the Holy Spirit does to you and does to me. See, the spiritual world was before the physical world. The physical world in which we live right now was created because of the spiritual world. And when this physical world will pass, the spiritual world will remain. So being equipped with those spiritual qualities or these spiritual senses, let's say call them senses, it's another benefit for us as Christians. Now, when you were born again as a Christian, you got those things. The only thing that me and you, we have to do, it's use them. We have to use those things. We can't just let them pass. We just can sit idle and not do anything with them. Tonight, I'm not going to talk about how can we accomplish those moments when every time when I read through the scripture, I have those moments where God speaks to me, reveals things that I have not seen in the scriptures before. I'm not going to talk about that. Colleen is going to probably talk about that next Sunday. What I'm going to talk about tonight is I'm going to bring you four reasons or four benefits that applies to us when we follow the principle of illumination. First of all, is I see the solution to my problem. And I want you guys to don't waste this piece of paper, but write down, like fill up the blank. Fill up the blank because, as it was mentioned in the beginning, it helps you to remember what we do a lot better. So first and first is I see the solution to my problem. I'm going to use the passage in Genesis 21, 19. And you know Abraham was promised by God a miracle son. It didn't happen. The time passed and nothing happened. So Sarah got nervous and said, you know, we have to do something. You know, we have to help God. take Agar, my servant, and she will give you a child. Indeed, it happened, but that was not God's plan. God's plan said, I have a different one. I have a miracle son for you. Ishmael is not the son, the promised son. And fair enough, Isaac came. And after a while, there was a tension between Isaac and Ishmael, between Sarah and Agar. And Sarah decides something else to convince Abraham to send her out completely, which he did. Now she finds herself stranded in the wilderness, in the desert, with no water and no solution for survival. And she decides to let her son die, and she walks away because she can't look at it. Now, the Lord hears Ishmael cry and talks and comes back and talks to Agar and says, what are you doing? And Agar starts crying and tells her a story and said, don't worry, I will take care of you and your son. And I will make a great nation of his, you know, his seed. And that's what happened, as we know. But now this is the amazing thing that happened. And it's mentioned in 21:19, Genesis 21:19. Then God opened her eyes and saw a well of water. God opened her eyes. That's what happened with me, with you many times. When we're facing the problem, the problems that are behind us, we can't see the solution in front of our eyes. We open the Bible seeking God's answer, but we don't see it because we are so burdened with our problems. We come to church and we pray, but we don't see it because we can't let those problems go. We don't let the Holy Spirit to enlighten us the way He should. But when we do that, God will open our eyes and we will end up seeing the truth, the solution, which is in front of our eyes. How many times happened with you guys that? How many times it happened when you couldn't see it, and when you saw it, you were so ashamed of yourself. You say, I'm such a bummer. Why couldn't I just see it? And I waste so many years of my life. Now, the second is, I see the barrier to my progress. And this is an interesting passage in the Bible. It's in Numbers 28:31. And we have an interesting picture when the king of Syria wants to conquer Israel. And not the king of Syria. So Israel camps to the Moab border, and the king of Moab gets really afraid of the Israelites. So what he does, he calls Balaam, the prophet of God, and said, I want you to come over down here, look over them, and curse them, because whatever you curse is cursed, whatever you bless is blessed. So I want you to come over and curse them. And indeed, after God tells him not to go, he goes, and he takes the donkey, he rides the donkey, and at one point, the angel of the Lord appears in front of the donkey. The donkey sees the angel of the Lord with his sword in his hand and stops. And then Balaam starts to beat the donkey. And the donkey goes away from the road in an open field. And Balaam gets so upset and then, you know, beats the donkey again, puts it back on the road, and here they go again. The angel of the Lord meets the donkey again on a narrower space. It's a vineyard where they're like, not fences, but they're like, it's like a fence on each side. So basically the road was pretty narrow. You could pass through, and there are probably not other people. There's another, you know, enough space for another person to pass alongside of you. And that was it. When the donkey saw the angel of the road, he did the same thing. He was trying to go around the angel. He was afraid, and he scratched Balaam leg on the fence, on a brick wall. Balaam was so upset, he beat the donkey again. And then as they were walking, the angel of the Lord met the donkey again in such a narrow space, you could not pass. At that point, the donkey said, it's enough. I'll sit down. I'm not doing anything. And Balaam started beating the donkey again. And then the donkey speaks with Balaam and says, what are you doing? Why are you beating me? At that moment, God opens Balaam's eyes and he sees the problem. He sees the barrier. What I'm trying to say with this, how many times your choice, your solution to your business, to your school, to everything you do, it's a wrong one? How many times you choose the wrong thing in your life, and because of that, you think it's the right thing, but because you're so blinded by your ambitions, you can't see what's ahead of you. You can't see the danger you're heading to. And God wants to stop you, but you just don't want to listen to God's voice so many times. He wants to redirect you, but you don't want to listen to what he has to say. But when you let the Holy Spirit to speak to you, you will see when he says stop and when he says go. We have, as Christians, we have to see that. We have to see when God says stop to my progress. And we have to see when God says no, turn and go the other way. And number three, I see the defense of for what's attacking me. And here is the king of Syria. So we have the king of Syria attacking the Israelites. And an interesting thing happened. As he was making plans how to attack the Israelites, God will reveal Elijah, the king's plan. So every time he was trying to camp in one place and attack Israel from that place, God would say, tell the king of Israel that the Syrian king will camp over there and he will attack you. It didn't happen once, it didn't happen twice, it happened several times. At that moment, the king of Syria said, what's going on? Somebody's betraying me. And he gathered all the council. And he was trying to find who is betraying him. But nobody was betraying him. One of his councilmen said to him, there is a prophet in Israel. His name is Elijah. And he reveals the king of Israel everything you're planning. At that moment, they decide to trap him and kill him. And here's the passage that I know it's not just a fairy tale, it's not just a story written in the Bible, but if it's the truth, because we had so many missionaries going up, going Africa, going India, and they had the same experience. When people attacked them, and at one point they fled, they run away, and I said, what was happening? An army of angels were behind them, protecting them. Same thing is here. Elijah prayed, oh Lord, open his eyes so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. That's what God does with me and with you guys. He is behind us, protecting us. He is behind us, carrying our load many times. We're not walking by ourselves. We're not alone. But we have those spiritual eyes. My question, why can't we see that? Why can't we see what's behind us? Why can't we see how he protects us? We have to start using those eyes and let the Holy Spirit to bring illumination in our lives. The fourth one, it's my favorite one, and because it applies to my life so many times. I see how God is walking with me. Now, that passage is the road of towards Emmaus, and where the two disciples, even though they walked with God for 3.5 years, at this time when they're walking with Jesus, Jesus is caught up with them, and they start talking about the scripture, about Jesus Christ, about what happened, about the crucifixion, about Golgotha, about all this stuff, and they're amazed by what he is telling them. We find out later on. But they cannot recognize him. They can't recognize the Lord, their Lord. And how many times you and me were doing the same thing? How many times I'm walking with the Lord? I go to church. I'm involved in everything that I can be involved. You do so many things. You do so many great things. But you can't see the Lord is walking with you. You just cannot see that. Now, We have all the means to see that. We are equipped to see the Lord is walking with us. But our eyes, they're completely blinded. If you don't see it, because your spiritual eyes are blinded. And as I mentioned before, the spiritual world is more real than this physical world. Has more meaning and has more power than this physical world exists. If we see this physical world, why can't we see or understand the spiritual world that's behind us? We have to do that. And that's my prayer for you. And another thing, and I'll let you with this. This book just doesn't give me only the truth about God. But this book is a unique book because it gives me something that no other book can give me. And that is the only book that gives me and allows me to speak to its author while I'm reading it. There's no other book on earth that you can speak with the author while you're reading it. It's just you or me. It's up to me and you if we let the hour to speak to us. God bless you guys.